Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama. How are you?
Hello, Michelle. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's hard to believe it's already been a week since we talked last. This last week went really quickly for me. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it did. It went really quickly for me. And I know you've been struggling a little bit, but you're feeling better now.
I'm feeling better, and I'm really happy that the evil Smurf voice is gone. And it's nice to be healthier, a little bit healthier. But I think it's also the season. It's changing a lot in the Netherlands. Today the temperature is 26 degrees, so it's really summerish. But in the weekend it will be raining like winter, so I don't cope well with that. So yeah.
I had my furnace on last night, but I turned it off this morning because I woke up. I was like, oh, it's a little bit warm today. Maybe it's finally spring and summer is on its way. So. Well, I wanted to talk today about the fact, and I think Allie and I did an episode about this maybe 2 years ago, but it's good to talk about things again sometimes and to keep bringing them forward to the front of our community so people remember the things that we discuss. But I wanted to talk about the fact that underrepresentation means so many different things. And we've talked about that. You and I have talked about that before, too. Yeah. It's not just about ethnicity. It's not just about socioeconomic status, but it's also about neurodivergence. It's about being part of the LGBTQ community. It's about age and age discrimination, and it's about disability. There are so many things that can classify somebody as disabled or as underrepresented. Sorry, I said the wrong word first, as underrepresented. And I think about the fact that sometimes people look and only take in what they see visually and make a determination on whether or not that person is allowed to be considered underrepresented. And so I wanted to talk about that today and see what your take on that is, because whose responsibility, I guess, is it to determine if somebody is underrepresented? Like, what makes somebody be underrepresented? Do we believe what they say? Do we have a classification system that somebody has to prove themselves? You know, all of these things kind of come to mind for me. And for example, I use a mobility device almost all the time now, except in my home. But there was a time when I would only use maybe a wheelchair at the airport. And then somebody sees me, or even with my scooter, they see me take my scooter to the edge of the plane, but then I get up and I walk onto the plane. And I wonder sometimes if people think, she's not disabled, she could walk onto the plane. Yeah. But they don't know my body, they don't know that I can't walk through an entire airport. I don't have the stamina and I don't have the physical strength to be able to do that, but I can walk onto an airplane. When I went to WordCamp Asia 2023, I was 77 rows back in the airplane, and it was almost impossible to get there. So once I got there, I was like sweating and the tears, and it was just terrible. But my point is that people don't always know. You can't always tell by looking whether or not somebody meets your criteria of whether or not they should be considered underrepresented. Over to you.
Yeah. For me, I have a funny phrase. I called it like diversity for the naked eye. Because sometimes people look at you.
And I'm writing that down as our title.
And they want to see diversity in their eyes. They want to see black or white. They want to see men, women. Mm-hmm. And nobody understands diversity can be with race, gender, culture, religion, abilities, background. There's a million definitions. And I understand when you say that. Oh, people saying if they have disabilities or they're from under a representative group. I understand that, but I believe people are good and honest until they prove the opposite. So, but it's very sensitive subject because you don't want to ask what your diversity is or what group you are from. I have it at the beginning, difficulties in the EOS Diversity Fund, because when someone applies, we need to ask them under what group you are, because then we can have more definition, or if they can take the EOS Diversity Fund. And for me, I'm really happy because I ask this question all the time. People answer me. And sometimes you get educated from it, like age. And it was there in my mind. But I get recently an application, someone saying like their age is above 70 for US Diversity Fund. And that's like add diversity for the WordPress community. I'm talking about WordPress community because I know the best in it.
Of course.
A lot in it. Not the best, a lot. And then, yeah, that's it. Diversity can have many shapes, but still people, when they look at you, they immediately, they want to think if they can add you to the diversity line or not. You are, like, you are the rest. And I'm sorry about your flight, but yeah, you have those people that they can, because you don't know. And it's okay to ask. And sometimes, just don't ask. Like, for me, if I know the person, I will ask a question. If, like, some stranger, just I believe that what they're doing is absolutely true and honest. So why questioning it? But, yeah, diversity, that is the issue. People look at it, and they want to see it with their eyes and not understand what it's mean, because two people can have the same color, the same gender, and they can be grow up in different culture. They can grow different religion. They can different background. They can have maybe disabilities like ADHD. They can have dyslexia. There's a million things. You cannot see it with your naked eye. And that sometimes people need to understand it, that not every diversity can be seen with your eyes.
Yeah. It's I was telling you the story before we started recording. And I honestly, I would give this person credit for the story if I could recall who it was. But it was a story that I saw sometime last year. I can't remember where. It was probably TikTok. But it was a story I saw. May have been Reddit. I don't recall. But anyway, it was a woman who is younger. I think she said she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
And she had just pulled into an accessible parking spot at whatever establishment she was at. And so, you know, it had the wheelchair sign in front of it. Mm. And, of course, you don't have to be in a wheelchair to use accessible spots. You just have to meet your local government's requirement to be approved for those spots. Okay. So she pulled in and parked, and she was taking a couple of minutes to gather her belongings, check her phone, answer some messages before she got out of the car to go into wherever she was going. And a woman who was clearly older than her came up and knocked on her window. And so she rolled the window down, and the woman said, "You're not supposed to park here." And she said, "I have a right to park here." "You're young. You have no right to park here." And she said, "Ma'am, I do have a right to park here. So you can see I have the placard that hangs." "Well, that's probably your grandmother's. It's probably not even yours." Wow. And she said, "Ma'am, no, it is mine. It is mine. I have a right to park here." "Why do you have a right to park here?" And so she opened the door and she said, "I don't have to show you this, but I'm going to show you this." And she pulled her pant leg up to reveal a prosthetic leg. So she had, of course, every right to park there. And the woman still said to her, "But you're younger and you should still give the spot to somebody like me."
Oh.
And so this was this horrible experience that this poor person had. I don't know. I don't remember the story of how she lost her leg. I don't remember if she was a veteran or, you know, if she was born with limb difference. I don't remember what the story was. Regardless, it wasn't up to that older woman to tell her that she needed to give up her spot because she, number one, didn't look disabled, number two, didn't believe her, and number three, even when she proved that she was a disabled person and had every right to park there, was still told that she was too young and she had too much energy and still should give up the spot to somebody older. And I remember thinking about that. It's like, when I park somewhere and I get out with my cane and I can walk a short distance, do people look at me and say, "Oh, she should give up that spot to somebody who is more disabled than her?"
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, I don't care, right? I know what I'm entitled to, and I take advantage of the things that I should be taking advantage of given my situation in life. But I often wonder what the what the optics are for somebody watching me maneuver in the world when I hear such stories from other people. there was a meme, gosh, maybe 20 years ago, of a woman in a liquor store, and she was in a wheelchair. Like the first two panels, the first panel, she's sitting in a wheelchair. The second panel, she's standing up to reach something off of a shelf. And the bottom said, "It's a miracle." Like she shouldn't she isn't really disabled. But just because somebody can stand in a situation to grab something off a shelf doesn't mean they have the ability to ambulate themselves around an entire store. And so I just think about that sometimes, and I reserve judgment. We are humans. We evaluate situations, and sometimes that, kind of crosses over into judgment territory. When I see somebody screaming at somebody else, immediately have a judgment on them. Try sometimes to remind myself that people have bad days, and even though she's mistreating somebody else or that person's mistreating somebody else, perhaps they can be given a little bit of grace, whatever the situation is. You don't know what somebody else's situation is. But I do try not to judge, because I know that I have been judged in the past as well.
For me, I feel like I'm really sorry, like, how can I say it, for you first, because it's so difficult to try to explain yourself. And it's not competition at the end who has more disabilities and who has the right in the spot. If you follow the rules, and I know in the States and Europe, there's a requirement. And I don't want to say requirement, sounds so bad. But I mean, like, there's health conditions, there's a test, and then you're giving that spot. And like, for the old lady, I'm pretty sure that the young lady, she wants to be having her leg, she wants to be healthy, but she didn't choose it. She didn't go like, oh, I don't want to have leg anymore. But yeah, I can understand. And also, you don't judge me. I'm the queen of judgment. I will not. No, I sometimes it get me in trouble, like situation when you see stranger, like, so I have hold myself for 1 minute, but then no, I can't. I have to be this defending others. But yeah, no, but also, how can I say it, it's also for, I don't want to say they don't know, because they don't understand what is the other person going through, what they don't understand the other person condition or health condition. And also, some people, sometimes I find it noisy, because you said you don't want to go through it. Of course, me also, I don't want to ask the person, what's that? Why you're here? Why you're in disabled parking? Show me why. I find it very weird. But it's also those people, I believe, at the same, they believe diversity is just only black and white and men and women. And and I know that sounds very judgmental, which I am. I'm joking. But I think, I don't know how to explain it for people. Yeah. Like, sometimes it's let it go, and sometimes this is the right question. But what is the right questions, like, to ask someone, what is your diversity, or what is your disabilities, or why do you need this? I found it very thin line between, okay, you can ask that question, and not okay not to ask it. There was a fun video about TikTok. Let's go back to TikTok. It was really funny. There was a lady doing interview. She has a darker skin. She's British. She's doing an interview. And the guy asking her, where are you born? And she said, like, I'm born in Cambridge. And he told her. And then he was asking a lot of questions. Like, he want to ask her, why you're not white? And then he asked her, you're not British because you're brown. And she looked at him and she said, like, what? And
excuse me?
Yeah, excuse me. And then at the end, they write it like, you cannot ask people this question. And then they write the right question, what is your ethnic background? And this is like, okay, this is much better asking question why you're British and colored, or why you're from Norway and color. But it was a funny video, because he asked her, where are you from? I'm a British. Where are you? I'm from Cambridge. Where from Cambridge? And he was asking, where's your parents from? Where they were born? Like, it's really hilarious.
He wanted to know, where is your heritage from? Are you from the African continent? Are you from Jamaica? Where is your heritage? It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business, you know? I think about those kinds of things all the time. I think about the questions, like I said, my daughter gets asked all the time, like, are you Hispanic? Are you, you know, and she's like, I'm, you know, she considers herself African-American.
Yeah.
Or a black woman. And so, and she has done her, you know, her DNA testing and things, and she knows, because she would not identify as African American until she knew that the blackness in her was from the African continent, yeah, and not from someplace else, because it's I don't know what the right way to say it is, but like there are other ways, other places in the world definitely, where you can, yeah, have darker skin without having come from the African continent. Yeah. And so she identifies as black. And it's funny because I think sometimes, well, you're just as white as you are black, but that is what people see, first of all, is they see somebody who's got much darker skin than me. But also, she owns her heritage in that. And I am so proud of the woman that she is, because she doesn't say I'm half black, half white. She's like, no, what you see is what you get. I'm very, yeah, proud of who I am. I'm very proud of how I carry myself in the world. If you don't like it, too bad, because this is who I am and I'm here. And so, yes, I'm very proud of my daughter.
I met her once last year, World Cup Europe.
Yes.
Like, she's amazing. You're so lucky, and she's lucky to have you as a mother too.
Thank, yeah, you.
When he said it's not about color, I also, people, they don't get it. It's not also about color. It's about culture, because, mm-hmm, being African American or being African or being Arab or being Asian, like Korean or Japanese, also like there's culture behind it. Their understanding for the culture and differences. I hear it's weird from the States in Europe. If you ask someone, where are you from? Let's say, dark skin person, or me, I always say like I'm Palestinian Dutch, or some people say like Dutch. They mm-hmm, don't say, we don't have that concept that people have in the States. They say like I'm African American or I'm mm-hmm, Asian American, because here, how can I say it? Of course, I believe there's racism in Europe and in the States. It's kind of the same, but here it's going to more different, how can I say it, more different vibe, more different direction. Mm-hmm. While in the States, it's in your face, like in your face. Here they try to sugarcoat it, or it's, let's say, hidden racism, like under the table, like they give you the small comment. But mm-hmm, but while in the States, it's so in your face.
It's so interesting in the States, because somebody will identify, even though they were born and raised here for generations, like 4, 5, 6 generations, they will still tell you where their heritage is from. So there are people that are so proud that they're Irish. They've never been to Ireland. In 5 generations, nobody in their family has ever been to Ireland, but they're so proud that they're Irish. Italian heritage here,
yeah,
is so big. And I dated a man after my divorce. I dated a man for a few months who was from Italy. Like, he had the Italian accent. He'd been here about 10 years. So he was true Italian. And he would laugh because, like, all of, like, the Sopranos and those kinds of television programs and everything, when they're like, oh, we're Italians. And he's like, I'm Italian. That's American. You know? So, like, so it depends on where you're from and how you view those things. But in the United States, I think that because of the way that immigrants came into the United States, yeah, and because of how they were processed in through Ellis Island and other places like that, you were labeled very early on, and it became a classist thing. And so you were proud of your heritage because you wanted to bring that with you from wherever you had come from. But also, you wanted to make sure that if you were this class of people who were maybe British, right? So from England, where they saw themselves as better than Irish people or whatever. So you took that with you to maintain your classism while you were here. And so, and make sure that you were still elevated over others. Okay. It's not necessarily a good thing, but I think that that's where a lot of that kind of what, you know, telling people, like people say, well, what are you? And I used to say, oh, I'm, you know, German and Swedish on my mother's side, and I'm French Canadian on my dad's side. I'm a white American. That's what I really am, you know? So, anyway. You can't, yeah, see any of it, right? Like, you can hear my last name sounds French. That's great, you know? Yes. But through Canada, right? So, like, from many, many generations in Canada. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think it's also maybe they missing home. I think the grandparents or grand-grandparents, they missed home. And they all the time talk, yeah, about it. And they took it as like traditional to talk about home and be proud of, to be proud about your inheritance. Yes, it's funny, after five generations, never been there, never saw it, and he's still like, I am from there. But I think that also added a little bit, let's say, to the recipe, that people, immigrants, still talk about home.
Yeah.
And when they go home, they don't like it. They want to go back for the new home. It's, I always, like, here in Netherlands, I complain. When I go visit my sisters, I start complaining there. Oh, people are so rude. Oh, why this is not clean? Oh, why people are skipping me in line? And I complain about it. It's funny. And when I go to the Netherlands, I start complaining about the Netherlands.
It's all good. It's a function of where you're sitting today.
Yeah. It's self-mechanism, you know, because always mentally, like, you need to miss something. So that's it. So everybody know that about me, that today I complain and I'm judgmental.
In reality, you are quite... I don't know about the complaining. I've never heard you complain, but I know that you are not judgmental. So.
No, we said it out of fun, not at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So all of this to say, please believe people. When somebody says to you that they have a need, or that they classify themselves as underrepresented for any number of reasons, it's your job to believe them, not to doubt them, and not to require proof from them. There are certain situations when proof is required by a government, or perhaps by a business that is to supply you some service or goods that they need a prescription for, or they, you know, there are things in the world where you do have to prove a status, specifically medically, right? Or for certain scholarships and things like that, to try to make a more even playing field for people. And so there are times and there are certain circumstances when there is a burden of proof on the person. But in general, in tech, in the world that we work in, believe people when they tell you who they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and I could not say it better. And if someone has a question, before you ask it, just like think about it and ask people if you want to know information, if you want to know what to ask. But also believe people. You don't have to question everyone. And yeah, and what you say is 100% true. I cannot make it better. You did it perfectly. Perfectly.
Awesome. Well, we do. I always say we never know what we're going to talk about next week. We do know what we're going to talk about next
Definitely.
Week.
Definitely.
I'm not going to say who's going to join us just in case her schedule changes. But next week we are going to talk about multilingualism and how it helps promote community within the WordPress community. You are multilingual. I am attempting to be multilingual. I am learning. I have almost 1,260 days straight on Duolingo.
Proud
aprendi,
of you.
Aprendiendo a hablar español.
Oh, nice.
But I can't listen quickly, if that makes sense. When people speak rapidly, I'm like, whew, I'm lost. But I am trying, and I am having small conversations with people. But the guest that we have coming next week is really doing a lot more than that, and so I'm excited to hear her talk about that and hear your experiences as well. I will be the fly on the wall. Asking
Not
questions.
Not at all. Like, she's amazing, and I love her. I want to say that. I'm going to consider her as a friend, and she's awesome with languages. Like,
yes. Yes. So we're looking forward to that. And we've if you're still listening, thank you. We've updated the form on our website. So now you can go to our contact form. You can recommend a guest or a topic to us. You can recommend yourself to be a guest on the show. There's a couple other options in there if you're interested in looking at other ways to be involved. And of course, you can always join our database if you are an underrepresented person. We don't require proof.
that's the best thing. I like this one.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next week on Underrepresented in Tech. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Bye.
Bye. Bye. If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.